Hey guys, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour on every Thursdays from 11 to 12. I figured we'd start off the show with some good news for all of our fellow Giants fans. If you're not a Giants fan, well then I'm sorry. I guess it's not very good news. But the Giants won the game yesterday against the LA Dodgers. That's really exciting, especially because, well, we weren't doing so well the last couple of games. I actually went to the game last Wednesday. Against the Rockies when the Giants were playing the Rockies at home. That game didn't end too well. The Rockies beat us. I think they beat us every single game we played against them, which is kind of depressing. But yeah, that wasn't a very good game. But I mean, I still had fun, whatever. It would have been more fun if we had won. But I'm still super stoked that they beat the Dodgers because my boyfriend happens to be a fan of the Dodgers. So whenever it comes to baseball, we butt heads a little bit. And the good news was that they won both of the games. So they played each other not only yesterday, Wednesday, but they played each other also on Tuesday. Tuesday, that was a nice win. We ended up winning 4-2, and it was really cool. Am I right? I'm wrong. We didn't win 4-1. I'm sorry. That was totally wrong. We lost the Rockies game 4-1. But we beat the Dodgers the first game that they played. I can't remember what the score was because I didn't watch the game, to be honest. But I did watch the game yesterday. That was really cool. We ended up winning, like I said, 3-2. And I think, I can't remember what inning it was, but it was literally tied 2-2, I think, until like the sixth or seventh inning, I want to say. I won't lie, I started to fall asleep after that point because I was really, really tired from a very long day at school. But so that was a good little news for that. I also wanted to go and mention something that happened at the Giants game when I had gone, just because I think it's important to be mindful of others. I went to the Giants, like I said, last week, and I was sitting in the bleacher section. So all of the seats are, it's literally just like bleachers. You're lined up and people sit in front of you, behind you, whatever. And there was this guy sitting directly in front of me, taking a picture of his view and sending it to one of his friends or whatever. And I wasn't even trying to be nosy. I just literally happened to like look up as the guy was taking the picture and sending it. And I noticed that in the picture that he sent, he wrote to his friend saying, oh, like, don't mind the slut sitting below. There was a girl sitting maybe 5-6 rows down from where we were sitting, whose pants had like gone a little bit below and her butt crack was showing a little bit. And this guy, who didn't even know this girl, never spoken to her in his entire life, just decided to like badmouth her. And it really made me think. I was like, what? Why? It's just so rude and disrespectful. I talked to my boyfriend about it. I like told him what happened and I was just so appalled by this person's character. And he was just like, people are like that. And I'm like, yeah, but what makes it okay? And I started to realize that, I mean, in our society today, it's okay to kind of just badmouth women, like unintentionally almost. Like it's like word vomit. And honestly, in my opinion, it's almost like people just word vomit insults about women without even realizing, like by saying, oh, like, don't mind that slut, or oh, she looks like this, or oh, she looks like that. Or I mean, it's just like, why? I mean, I honestly don't see or hear a lot of comments like that about men. Like, I don't walk down the street and talk badly about some guy. But I mean, then again, I'm also just not that type of person. But I figured I would just highlight it on the show and, you know, kind of just try to bring light to it, that you never know who's behind you and you never know who's seeing what you're sending. So even though it is a private message, like I said, I wasn't even trying to see what that guy wrote. Keep in mind, too, that like you don't want to go and like put other people down just for your own pleasure, especially if you don't even know them. It's kind of childish and really, really, really stupid. And this was like a grown man. So I mean, I still can't get over it. It just baffled me, people's character nowadays and thinking that things are okay when they're not. And like I said, just more importantly, it was just like so disrespectful to talk about a woman that way, especially one that you don't even know. I mean, for all he knows, she could be the coolest person ever and maybe save his life one day. And yet he was sitting there saying like, oh, don't mind the slut sitting in front of us, when chances are she didn't even know that her pants were falling down a little bit. So anyway, aside from that little rant, I wanted to talk about some really weird news that I heard about just yesterday, actually. I was reading online, different websites. Like I said, I always look over, you know, Cron4, ABC, NBC, just any news site really that I can get some info on. And I stumbled upon this story about this kid named Austin Hatfield. I think that's how you say his last name. And he's 18 years old, and he managed to get his face bitten by a really, really venomous spider, a really, really venomous snake. It was actually a cottonmouth water moccasin snake, and I guess those are super, super dangerous. I'm not really a reptile person, so I don't know anything about that type of stuff. But while I was reading this article, they went and they said that this kid's face literally, it swelled up almost twice the size of what it was, and his swelling was so bad that he actually had to have help breathing because his windpipes were closing up from all of the swelling. And I mean, if you think about it, it's just like, why would you have such a venomous snake in your possession? So I watched, not only did I read about it, but I watched the newscast on it as well. And the Huffington Post was actually the one who posted an article with the video that was linked to it. And it was aired by, I believe, Fox 13 Florida. I'm pretty sure that's the station that aired it. And they reported that the snake was about 4 feet long. So the height of like, I don't know, like a middle school kid probably. Which is just ridiculous to me. And like I said, this kid Austin happened to find the snake last Thursday. So I guess he was out in the wild or whatever, found the snake, captured it, supposedly was keeping it in his pillowcase. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his pillowcase. And then from there, I guess, you know, Saturday is when it all went down. He caught the snake Thursday, was playing with it on Saturday. Him and his friends were hanging out. I guess this kid was laying on his bed and he took out the snake and put the snake on his chest. And all of a sudden, and like within seconds, the snake just lunged at his face and bit his lip. And his friend reported and told reporters and everybody, it took seconds, literally seconds, for this boy's face to just swell up. And according to the reports that I've read, he's been just pumped with anti-venom just to try to make sure that he's okay. When he first went to the hospital, he was in critical condition. So they weren't too sure about what he was going to end up, you know, if he was going to survive or not, because the venom is just so venomous from these types of snakes. And now, thankfully, he's okay. He's in stable condition. He's not, you know, out of the woods yet. He's still in the hospital. But now they're saying that he might end up facing charges. So, you know, unfortunately, congratulations, yay, you're okay for now. You're not out of the woods. But now Florida wildlife investigators are the ones that said that the snake that he had is basically as big as they get. So he had one of the biggest forms of the cottonmouth water moccasin. So that's a little kind of disheartening. I mean, maybe if it was a smaller or like a baby, the venom wouldn't have been as bad and he wouldn't have been as hurt. But unfortunately, that was not the case. And the funniest thing, and I guess by funny, I mean ironic, was that Florida ended up finding, or the Florida news station, Fox News Florida, ended up interviewing one of the boy's friends, his own friend, and his name was Jason Belcher. And Jason was literally quoted on camera saying, there's a lot of people that have told that, or no, he said, there's a lot of people that have died from getting bit by cottonmouths. It's not the thing you want to play with. So everybody kept telling him it's not the right choice to do. But, and he kind of just trailed off, like, almost like saying, you know, we kind of gave him a warning, but oh, well, he didn't listen. Like, this is his own fault. Honestly, that was like what his body language was saying, and like the demeanor and the way that he was talking. It was almost like, this kid's an idiot for doing what he did. And we all warned him. So now, like I said, he might be facing charges, and what he would be specifically charged with are for capturing and holding a venomous reptile without a license. So although the FWC spokesperson is saying that they are happy that he's okay, there is a chance that he will have to face charges. So, you know, next time if you find an animal, you might want to make sure that, you know, it's not venomous and that it's not illegal and that you won't, you know, possibly die from keeping this animal with you. Honestly, what he should have done is probably just call animal control or even 911 and said, you know, hey, there's a really venomous snake out here. Can you guys please send somebody out here to get it? Because it could potentially kill somebody. But no, instead he decided to take it home with him and play with it. So, lesson to you all, do not take spiders home and... why do I want to keep saying spiders? Honestly, I'm terrified of spiders, so maybe that's why. Snakes don't freak me out as bad as spiders do. But anyway, like I was saying, don't take a snake home. Just don't. I mean, if you go to Petco and you want to buy a snake, by all means, go to Petco and buy a snake. Those ones are safe, but not one that you find in the wild. That's definitely a no-no. So now I'm going to go ahead and take a break, listen to some good music. And when we come back, I want to talk about this other crazy story that I've been hearing nonstop this entire week about Kylie Jenner. I don't know if you guys have heard about it or if you've seen it, or I mean, this hashtag is going crazy. It's literally hashtag Kylie Jenner challenge. Check it out. Oh God, it's just awful. Like I said, stay tuned because it's a really good segment coming up where we are going to talk about and discuss what on earth these children have been doing to be more like Miss Kylie Jenner. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR. Stay, hang tight. But the fighter still remains, you still remains. La la la. La 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 la.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Everything is gold, everything is equal. Posted on the porch, just chillin', me and my people. Eyelids closed, gold sun shines on. The world's coated in the gold Krylon, yeah. And these days, 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 they never run away. Gold tints, shades that block out that golden haze. Take all the gold from the pawn shop that lives behind the case. And give it away,
give it away, give it away.
When gold erupted from volcanoes in the heavens, and every shrine that existed in time melted. Tombs open, dookie ropes on the barrels. When everything is gold, who cares about the carrots? They say the gold's the skin of the gods. You can't take the band-aid when you're gone. Tip over that kiosk in the mall as the sunset falls into tomorrow.
Today we're feeling like gold. 500,000 sold. Slick Rick gold. Rope on helico. And we stay fresh, so fresh, head to toe. Slugger faded, 14 karat plated, so we're feeling like gold.
500,000 sold, slick Rick gold, rope burn, helico.
Today we're feeling like gold.
So fresh at the toes, gold slugger faded.
14 karat plated, so we're feeling like gold.
All right, now we open up that car door. Hey
guys, welcome back. All right, so we just listened to a little bit of Beatles. Good little throwback called Yesterday. And Gold by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis was just playing. I've actually never heard that song, so that was pretty cool. I actually kind of like it a little bit. But anyway, before our break, I did say we were going to come back and talk about the one and only Miss Kylie Jenner. And I think it's something that we do need to discuss because this craze is absolutely ridiculous. So about 2 days ago, news broke about this trend. And it's been going viral ever since. I'm talking, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, even though I don't use Instagram anymore. And it's on Twitter, again, even though I don't use Twitter anymore. That's how crazy this is going. I'm not even on Instagram and Twitter, and yet I know that it's been blowing up on this because tons of news articles have been posting screenshots and clips from Twitter, from Instagram, from all these other social media sites that have the hashtag Kylie Jenner Challenge. So her trend isn't just trending on one social media. It's trending on all forms of social media, which I guess is the point to emphasize, that it's really almost hard to deny and hard to ignore, and it's in your face like 24/7, even though you know it's something that shouldn't be happening. So basically the nitty-gritty of it is that girls, mainly some boys, but mainly girls from what I've seen in pictures and videos and whatnot, have been literally putting cups or shot glasses or something like small and circular that can hold suction around their mouths and sucking on it to hold the cup or shot glass around their mouth. And they're doing that for an extended period of time to create swelling. Now, as many of you guys may or may not have seen by now, Miss Kylie Jenner has this really, really voluptuous, like full pout that just everyone seems to envy and want. And also people wonder how on earth it's possible, because if you look at pictures from Kylie Jenner from when she was 13 and 14 years old or even younger, her lips are just basically non-existent compared to what they look like now. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with small lips. I have small lips myself. I'm just saying if you compare before to now, you almost can't even tell that she had had lips before, because nowadays she just makes them so, so big and full that it's just like, it's hard to think that she didn't have surgery for it. But I'm not going to lie, I do tend to believe her. She came out, I believe it was in Gazia magazine. She had done an interview and a spread with them. And she stated, you know, I've never had plastic surgery. And the only reason I believe that is because I myself have seen videos on YouTube and on the internet in general as to how to contour your face. And contouring has to do with, you know, changing the shape of your cheeks or your jawline or your nose or all this other stuff. But you can also change the shape of your lips. All you need is some lip liner and some lipstick and maybe some different types of I don't use face makeup. There we go. I was going to say, I don't use foundation, so I always forget what it's called. But anyway, so if you get like some foundation and like put that around your mouth too to change the shape of it, mix with the lipstick and the lip liner, you're good to go. Like you can make yourself look like you just had some lip injections and you have this nice, pretty, pouty lip. So all these kids have been going crazy on the internet trying to look like her, and it's just making a lot of people angry because these kids don't know the severity of what it is that they're doing to their mouths. So they're causing these really, really bad purple and red bruises on their lips and around their mouths. They're even popping blood vessels because of all the power and the suction. I saw one picture that showed part of a cut, like this person's lip had been almost torn, and it was because the shot glass that they had put on their mouth to suction on had burst from the pressure that was created. So this person ended up cutting their mouth open because of this stupid, stupid trend. And what's even more idiotic is the fact that some of these posts that you see are people posting what it looks like and then saying, don't do it, or how stupid am I for doing this Kylie Jenner challenge. And then even though they're posting saying not to do it, it's almost like it's encouraging others to do it, because it hasn't stopped. It's just grown more and more and more. And if you think about it, it's like when you're a little kid and your parents tell you, you know, don't stay out past curfew. Well, every now and then you get a little bit of a thrill from staying out past curfew, because you know that whatever it is you're doing is going to be worth getting in trouble for when you stay out past curfew. I think that's kind of the same mentality that these kids are having. Like, it's taboo. They're saying, oh, don't do it. But what if I do it right? Well, there's no way to suction on a cup and do it right. I even saw one video of this girl sucking on a Gatorade bottle. And, I mean, you guys know, Gatorade bottles are tiny. The circles are really small. This girl had suctioned on it so hard that her mouth was just so swollen, she couldn't close her mouth. I kid you not. She could not close her lips for the life of her. So that was, you know, obviously a negative side effect from it. And I first heard about it on the radio. I don't know if I mentioned that already, but I first heard about it on the radio on Monday. I think I was listening to like KMEL or something, but KMEL and Q102 have both been talking about it nonstop. You know, it started Monday, Tuesday. They even talked about it yesterday. And I'm sure they'll talk about it again today, because at first when the story came out, it was first, you know, oh my God, this is happening. Oh my God, these kids are doing this really, really stupid thing. Like, somebody warned them and tell them that some of this damage can be permanent. So, and some of it can last for days. There was one post that showed a girl who had had swollen lips and bruising and broken blood vessels for over 3 days, and it wasn't going down and it wasn't changing. So she probably has some more serious damage than what she had bargained for when she started the experiment. So, you know, not a very good idea. But then after that faded away, then people were talking about how Kylie Jenner hadn't even addressed it yet. So here was this trend going crazy over this celebrity that everybody loves and wants to be like, supposedly, quote unquote. And she hadn't come forward saying, oh my God, guys, don't do this, don't do this. And she is a young girl. She's only 17 years old, but she has a huge following. So you would think that if she had seen that this negative thing was happening, she would want to come out and, you know, try to be like, no, guys, don't do this. You know, it's dangerous. But that actually happened yesterday. So now the news that was going on yesterday was the fact that Kylie Jenner finally addressed the problem. So at least we've continued to grow on the topic, but we still have not found a solution for the topic. So I think that's the biggest deal, is finding a way to get these kids to realize that it's not safe and not a good idea to suck on a shot glass to make your lips swell. But I do appreciate what Kylie Jenner did come out saying. She made a tweet yesterday. No, was yesterday the 22nd? Yeah, yesterday was the 22nd, so I'm sorry. She made a tweet on the 21st, but it made news yesterday on the 22nd. And the tweet that she sent out said, I'm not here to try and encourage people / young girls to look like me or to think that this is the way they should look. I want to encourage people / young girls to like me, to be yourself and not be afraid to experiment with your look. Stumbled on that a little bit. But basically what she was saying was that, you know, Kylie's always come out saying that she's really big on makeup. She likes playing with her look. She likes changing what she looks like with makeup. So I think that's what she meant by experimenting. So now what I found amusing was that one of the news segments that I had watched online that was talking about this issue said, you know, Kylie, why don't you do a tutorial? And when I saw that, I was like, wait, that's a really good idea. In order to go and help these kids, you know, get some common sense and learn that, you know, you can do stuff like this with makeup. And especially if they're idolizing Kylie Jenner to the point where they're hashtagging her and like calling it Kylie Jenner Challenge. Kylie Jenner should, if anything, come out with a little video clip showing how she does her lips or showing that, you know, you can change your look with your makeup or something. Because I really don't think that these kids are going to stop unless they find a way to solve their problem. And clearly their problem is not having big enough lips. And to stem off from this as well, I was listening to a radio show talking about it, and they were talking about how now they're appropriating, you know, what's supposedly seen as African-American culture into this. Because when I was listening to this news, this radio host talk, he was saying how, you know, back in the day, big butts and big lips were, you know, kind of frowned upon. That was a no-no. You weren't supposed to be voluptuous. You weren't supposed to have big lips or a big butt. But now, thick is in. So everyone else is trying to gain weight, thicken up, have a big butt like Miss Kim Kardashian, and have these big, beautiful, pouty lips like Kylie Jenner. But yet, it wasn't like that before. So all these trends are setting and coming about throughout time. And yet, I don't think that our generation is realizing that at one point in time, and even the generation that's younger than us, I don't think they realize that at one point in time, like, big lips were almost made fun of. I mean, there were cartoons that were made back in, you know, way, way back in the day when making fun of African-American culture was still okay, because it's definitely not. They made fun of that. They would characterize and make these, like, characters and cartoons of these African-American people with these big, prominent, huge black lips to make fun of them. And now it's almost like everyone's envious and wanting it, but they're not seeing the correlation of the history behind it. So I think it's really, really, really important to kind of take a step back and, as a parent or as an educator, educate these kids that are in middle school or even high school that are doing this, because clearly they're not getting it, because it's still an issue and these kids are still hurting themselves. I mean, like I said, if you guys go on Twitter or Instagram or just the internet and Google hashtag Kylie Jenner challenge, the image that you guys will see is just ridiculous. And I honestly have no idea how they could do this and think that it's okay. But I mean, then again, everyone's really young and stupid at certain times. Another story that I thought was kind of crazy and like kind of out of just what was Sherry Shepherd. She was a talk show host, I believe, on The View at some point in time. She actually went ahead and had a surrogate for her child. She was previously married, and during that marriage, they actually ended up getting a divorce. But unfortunately, the surrogate who was having the baby was still pregnant during this whole time. So they ended up having this divorce. And like I said, the surrogate stayed pregnant. And when she gave birth to the baby, Sherry Shepherd completely denied the child. She said, "This isn't my kid. This isn't going on. Like, I'm not responsible for this baby. I didn't want this baby. I was tricked into having this baby almost." So then the loophole in the law was that her husband, well, he accepted the child. So I guess it was her estranged husband, we should say. Now it's her ex-husband. But at the time, her estranged husband still accepted the child into his life, wanted the child, even said, "Sherry, you wanted this child. You should take care of the baby." Sherry Shepherd refused to be there at the birth of the child, which is just crazy to me, because this woman had made a commitment, found a surrogate for her kid, and then just left the baby abandoned. So the woman ended up giving birth. Sherry Shepherd's estranged husband at that point went to the hospital, but because Sherry never showed up, by law, the woman who was the surrogate had to put her name on the birth certificate. It gets even better. So because this woman who was a surrogate, who did something out of the kindness of her heart for another person, had to be put on the birth certificate legally, when Sherry Shepherd's ex-husband went after child support, he couldn't go after Sherry Shepherd because she was not the legal mother on the birth certificate. He had to go after the woman who was a surrogate, which he didn't feel comfortable about either, because she was a single mother who had literally just done this out of the kindness of her heart. She wanted to help Sherry Shepherd and her husband have a baby, and then it backfired and blew in her face. So thankfully, this woman, Sherry Shepherd's surrogate, and the ex-husband came together, and they were trying to find a way to make this work. And what ended up happening, the verdict just came in yesterday, actually, was that her estranged husband, he won the battle. He had taken her to court, and a judge declared that Sherry was, in fact, the legal mother of the baby that was born via the surrogate. So now Sherry Shepherd has no choice but to take financial responsibility for her child. And to be honest, I think it's just a really terrible situation, because this kid's going to grow up thinking that he wasn't wanted and that he wasn't loved. I mean, partially, because he's going to know that his dad obviously loves him. His name's LJ. And so little LJ is going to know that his dad wanted him, his dad loved him, but there's going to be all this news as to how terrible this woman like acted. I mean, just her demeanor about the whole entire situation is just so disrespectful, and it almost just leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth, because me being a woman, I just can't imagine doing that to a kid. I mean, the kid's completely innocent in this, and on top of that, she was making it impossible for her strange husband to get financial support unless he went after the surrogate, which is just completely wrong. I mean, even though if you want to go by legalities and whatnot, what's legal and what's in the law, yeah, legally she had to put her name on the birth certificate, but she wasn't the mother. So I think that also kind of helps you get a grasp on how backtracked the legal system is, because our technology is growing just immensely. Our medical practices are, you know, advancing tons, just a ridiculous amount. And yet the laws that have been in place for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years have not necessarily all been, what's the word I'm looking for? Edited, I guess, or revised. I definitely think like this law should have definitely been revised. there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If a woman goes ahead and is a surrogate for somebody, there's absolutely no reason that there should have been a law protecting her. There should have been a law protecting surrogates. And what made this such a controversial issue was the fact that it kind of put surrogacy in a really negative light when it's not supposed to be negative. It's not supposed to be something that can hurt the person that's trying to help a family. And yet that's exactly what happened in this case. And it's exactly what happened to this family. I mean, it turned into something so awful when it should have been something so beautiful. And I now what's coming out is whether or not the judge is right. Now the question is, oh, should the judge have ruled in favor of her estranged husband saying that Sherry Shepherd is the mother? Well, I totally believe that the judge was right. I have no problem saying that, because at the end of the day, this surrogate would have never had this child if it weren't for Sherry Shepherd and her estranged husband coming to her and asking her to do it and hiring her for it. So the whole reason that the child was even here is because Sherry Shepherd and her estranged husband wanted it. It takes two to tango. So just because she got divorced doesn't mean that she can leave all her responsibilities behind. I mean, one can dream of doing that when you get divorced, but as soon as you go and make the decision to have a child together, even if you're not physically giving birth to the child, there's no reason that you should have to, you don't get a free pass. I mean, if she had adopted a child, would there have been the issue of, oh, well, she adopted the baby, so it's not really her baby anymore, she doesn't have to deal with it? No, of course not. Of course not. If the child had been adopted, she would have still been held financially and legally responsible. So there's no reason that this should have happened. But like I said, the legal system is still really far behind. So hopefully things will start to change. And I mean, it even happens with cyberbullying. You hear about all these kids being tormented online and cyberbullying being, you know, a really big thing. But for a while, there weren't laws in place that helped kids when they were being cyberbullied. There was no law that said, oh, no, that's illegal. There was no law that said that's wrong. So nobody could be held accountable, even though kids were dying from being cyberbullied. Kids were taking their own lives because they were cyberbullied. And yet those who were doing the bullying couldn't be prosecuted for it because the laws were so far behind. So I think cases like Sherry Shepherd's and cases, like I said, of kids that have just been tormented by cyberbullying, I think these types of cases kind of bring to light that the laws have to be changed and reviewed and revised. Honestly, because there's no way that you can keep laws that were in place hundreds and hundreds of years ago when, like I said, technology and medical practices have come so far. I mean, even, and the funny thing is that with new technology, the new technology allows medical practices to advance even more. So it's just, it goes hand in hand with one another. So hopefully now the next story that will progress from this is laws that will be in place to protect people like the surrogate. On that note, I am going to take another quick break. So when we come back, we'll talk about a couple different things. Stay tuned. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
If I could give all my love, you know I would. Baby, I'm so sorry. And I hope that
All right, guys, welcome back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. We just listened to No Scrubs. That's a good little throwback for you, in case you guys haven't heard it for a while. It used to be one of my favorite songs, and it's by TLC, so if you feel like downloading it and reminiscing about the good old days, feel free to do so. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about another story that I think is kind of important just because of the topic that it brings to light and the bigger issue it kind of, you know, makes people think about. Apparently it kind of leads you to think that something may or may not have happened. This did happen. So middle school. Why can't I not think of my words today? At a middle school in Owensville, Ohio, it's called Claremont Northeastern Middle School, there was a girl named Sophie Thomas who was an eighth grader. And as many of you probably remember, back in like eighth grade and high school and stuff, you would take those big class pictures, like at the gym, or in my case, at my high school, they had us take it outside on the front lawn because there were so many of us. But you take those big class pictures, right? Well, this girl decided that she was going to wear just a plain black shirt that said feminist across the chest. And she went ahead, she walked into the gym, sat down, took her picture, and went about her day, didn't think anything of it, until the school released the pictures. Now, when the school went ahead and handed out all the pictures to the faculty and, you know, whoever had purchased it, the girl realized that her picture had been altered. And she was a little confused, and she was even quoted saying that she, like, blinked a couple times and rubbed her eyes because she didn't want to look really stupid and sound stupid, because she just couldn't figure out why there was a word missing from her shirt. And people always say, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, but in this case, her one word created a huge dialogue for this. So I guess what had happened was that her principal, and I believe her name was Kendra. Yeah, her name was Kendra Young. Her principal, Kendra Young, made the decision to alter the picture. She was the one who gave the go-ahead to change what the shirt said and, you know, just get rid of it entirely. And the funniest thing was that she even said, the principal herself said, that the shirt didn't violate the school's dress code. So if that's the case, why did she go ahead and give the okay to have it removed? If the word feminist didn't violate the dress code, why the need to photo edit the picture, right? Well, I guess what she had said and what she claimed was that other people might have found it offensive and that she was trying to avoid an issue. She didn't want other people to, you know, get mad about it and kind of stir things up just because of it. And if that's the case, isn't that totally sending the wrong message to kids? Like, oh, you don't want to do anything that might offend somebody else? Like, what? No, that's so wrong. Like, say whatever you want to say, do whatever you want to do if you're going to be passionate about something. If this young girl at eighth grade already calls herself a feminist and says that, you know, that's what she stands for, how are you as a principal going to intentionally silence a part of her personality and a part of who she is? She identifies with this. Just because you want to make sure that no one else gets offended. I think that's the point. I think that's what she wanted to do. She wanted people to know, like, hey, I'm a feminist. And if you like it, cool. If you don't, well then, oh well, like, I'm a feminist. And I think that's just something to really, like, focus on, because, I am a feminist. Like, I could probably go on a rant as to how women should be, you know, paid equally and all this other good stuff, but the focus of this is that this eighth grade girl, you know, was just mad and upset because no one had said anything to her. No one had told her, you know, oh, you can't wear this, you can't do that, you can't have this word displayed across your shirt. So when she got her picture, she was just kind of like more upset because she didn't know anything of it. And actually, she was quoted saying, She said, I saw that they had removed the word from my shirt and I was insanely upset. Insanely upset. So she wasn't just kind of sad about it. She was like really, really angry. And more so is that they didn't inform her. And she even said they just did it without permission. Like, they can just do whatever they want to her picture because they want to avoid controversy. When in reality, all her shirt said was feminist. It didn't have any explicit language. It wasn't like she was wearing a provocative shirt. It was literally a black plain crew neck. That's it. And her decision to wear the shirt wasn't unintentional. She had worn it before, and this time it was because of a conversation that she had had with another student. And she was quoted saying, "I was just showing everybody that this is me, and if you don't like it, you don't have to be my friend. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in." Plain and simple. And her mother and school officials met a few days ago, and their plan is to start a bigger conversation about it. They want to talk about it. They want it to be, you know, spoken about and brought light to. And the good thing is, though, is that this girl, Sophie Thomas, has actually gotten a lot of outpour and support from people in her community. So that's really nice. And hopefully it will teach this stupid, stupid principal, you know, maybe think twice before you do something like that, because there was really no reason to censor her at all whatsoever. I mean, she could have been wearing something way worse. She could have been like, you know, with a see-through shirt or like having her boobs hanging out or something like inappropriate for an eighth grader. But for an eighth grader to wear a crew neck black shirt that says feminist on it, and it wasn't even a tight shirt. Did I mention that? It was like a loose, just a plain t-shirt, is ridiculous. And other ridiculous and just what the heck is going on with society news, I am sad to inform that Marin Independent Journal released an article that talked about how Marin Catholic nuns decided to boycott classes due to Gay Awareness Day. Yeah. Unfortunately, we still have people like this in the world. And I say unfortunately because it really is unfortunate. there's just no reason to like promote discrimination and hate. And I am Catholic. I was raised Catholic. My mom is extremely Catholic, really old school, like traditional Latino, like go to church every Sunday and pray. And I mean, the whole shebang, whole thing. And I mean, my grandma even walked to church on Sundays. So they were really big on it. And I'm aware that in the Catholic religion, you're not supposed to be gay or anything like that. But that's so old school that it's not even relevant anymore. It's totally not. I mean, it's just not relevant. Plain and simple. There's tons of other people that I know that are just as religious as my mom or as myself. And we don't go around saying, oh, you can't be gay or you can't be, you know, lesbian or whatever you want. I mean, who cares? It has nothing to do, because the center of what religion is that you're supposed to love others and do to others the way you want done to yourself, and the whole, you know, we are all God's children type of thing. So I just can't wrap my head around how these five nuns from Marin Catholic thought it was okay to just do that. I mean, it's just, and for those of you who don't know, there is a National Day of Silence, which is aimed specifically at raising awareness about anti-gay and anti-gay language and bullying. So it's to help promote, you know, acceptance and peace and, you know, willing to understand that everyone is different. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody likes the same thing. I mean, just because you don't like mayonnaise doesn't mean I have to like, you know what I mean? Like, you like pickles. I don't like pickles. It's okay. We can still be friends. You want extra mayo on your burger and I want absolutely no mayo on my burger. We can still coexist. It's not like it's the end of the world. I mean, it's kind of gross. I really don't like mayonnaise, but that's besides the point. If there's a person who likes a guy and is a guy, or if there's a person that likes a girl and is a girl, it has absolutely no effect on you, because you can still like, you know, the sex that you're attracted to. But I mean, basically what had happened was that the Day of Silence had happened, and it was held last Friday, and it's also been sponsored by the New York based Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, which I think happened, it first started back in 2000. So it's been going on for about, you know, for 15 years, because now it's 2015. But the walkout came out on the heels of another controversy involving Marin Catholic and the Catholic Church's ethics concerning homosexuality. I don't know if you guys heard about that a couple months ago, but a lot of news and controversy was brewing around, you know, Catholic schools and the Catholic religion, and whether or not they would condone or, you know, teach gay and lesbians, you know, just facts. And so now I mean, especially in the Bay Area, I mean, San Francisco, it's, come on now. The Bay Area is supposed to be one of the most accepting places that people go. And I know somebody who is gay, and I think he had lived in Alabama or something. I don't remember. He lived somewhere, and he moved here because hears where people, and he said either, you know, you flock here or you flock to New York, which is hilarious because I know someone else who I went to high school with who was also gay, and he decided to leave the Bay Area and flock to New York, and like that's where he wanted to go. And so these two places are known for just being really open and accepting to the to this community, and I almost want to say shame on the sisters for doing that, because they're nuns. They're supposed to help promote, I think, like love, and like I said, you know, you're a child of God, plain and simple. And on top of that, they teach that, you know, God makes people the way that they are. That's how you are born. You are born a certain way. And that's the way that I learned it when I was learning about religion. So when I first, you know, found somebody that was gay and lesbian, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I was just, okay, cool. You are that way. Like, can we go get lunch or something? I really don't care. The first encounter I actually had with it was one of my best friends. Her mom was she is a lesbian. I haven't talked to her for a while, but she is a lesbian. And she told me, oh, like, do you want to come sleep over? And I said, yeah, sure. Are your mom and dad going to be there? And she looked at me kind of weird. And she's like, no, but my mom and her girlfriend will. And then she just waited to like, see if I was going to, I don't know, run away or something. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, what's her name? So I can tell my dad, because my dad always liked to be sure that he knew where I was staying, who was there, who was watching, you know, that whole thing. And I went and I told my dad, and he said the same thing. He said, oh, okay, well, are her mom and dad going to be there? And I just said the same exact thing that my friend had said. I said, well, her mom and her girlfriend will be, but like, it's the same thing. And my dad just looked at me and said, oh, okay, well, what are their names? And that was it. That was literally the end of the story. That was like the first encounter, you guess I could say, with having to discuss gay and lesbian with my parents, because they had never talked to me about it. They just kind of let me form my own opinion. And I mean, that's really just all it should be at this point. I mean, it's just so barbaric and so like old school to think anything different. But I mean, to each their own, I guess. That's just my opinion. But I think the most important thing is that if you are in a school setting like these nuns that teach at Marin Catholic, I think young kids are so impressionable, especially in high school. High school kids are mean. They're just really mean. And to have an adult go and, you know, just so blatantly, almost like, I almost feel like they were bullying gay and lesbian people just because they did something so publicly and so negative. And I know that they were trying to make a statement and like take a stand for what they believe in, what they thought should be taught and condoned in a Catholic school. But at the same time, I just think that acceptance and tolerance is more important than opinion. And your opinion on what someone's sexuality isn't as important as tolerance and acceptance. Because at the end of the day, people can go and disagree with your opinion. But if you are, you know, harassing somebody in a negative way because of their sexuality, or berating them because of their sexuality, it's not legal. You can't do that. You can't do that to somebody. It's not okay. I mean, you're not going to walk down the street and harass somebody because they have freckles on their face. I mean, they have freckles on their face. They were born that way. So in my mind, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, if you're gay, or if you're lesbian, or if you're transgender or transsexual or asexual or pansexual, bisexual, whatever sexual orientation you are, you're born that way. So there's really no reason that a grown adult and these grown nuns should, you know, condone that type of behavior. I really just can't wrap my head around it. And I think it's just wrong. But I'm glad that the Marin Independent Journal went and wrote about it, because it also reminds us that even though we are as West as you could possibly get and as accepting as the Bay Area is, it does remind you that there is injustice and, you know, discrimination everywhere. And I think sometimes people tend to forget that, especially because of where we live, because we are so blessed to live in an area that is so accepting, it is so open, and is so diverse. I mean, if you walk down the street in San Francisco, you're going to see a Hispanic guy, you're going to see a white guy, you're going to see a black guy, a white girl. I mean, you'll see everything. You'll see long hair, short hair, spiked hair, no hair. I mean, blue hair, pink hair. It's just so diverse. It's literally one of the best areas I think that you could live in, because you get a taste of everything. You get to see a bunch of different cultures and a bunch of different ways people live. And I mean, if you can even go to the Castro, and you have rainbow flags flowing everywhere, you have the gay bars, I mean, it's just a different type type of lifestyle that we have at our disposal because this area is so open. And I just think that, I mean, I understand what the Marin Independent Journal was trying to do. Like I said, I'm glad that they went and brought light that there is still, you know, discrimination, especially here, right in our backyard, right at Marin Catholic, which is literally right in her backyard. But I would also hope that they would do like a follow-up with, I don't know, like something else that's pro, like what good came about from the Day of Silence? You know, what events were happening with the Day of Silence? Were there any protests going on? Were there any like speeches being done? That's what I would want to know. And I would love if they would follow up with that, because like I said, this boycott just makes me kind of pissed, for lack of a better term. And I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe they'll think twice. If I was the person that ran that school, I would not want them teaching, just because I don't think it's fair or a smart idea to teach young, impressionable high school kids that it's okay to just not do something because you don't agree with somebody else. Like, what are they going to do when they have to work with somebody who might be gay or lesbian? Are they just going to walk out of work because they don't want to work with somebody that's gay or lesbian? I mean, no. I mean, realistically, you can't do that, right? I mean, if you have a job, you know, your cash flow depends on your job and your hours. You can't just walk out of your job because somebody who's gay or lesbian happens to walk in. Or if they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to, you know, Gay Pride in San Francisco this weekend. You can't just leave your job because you're like, oh, my God, I'm just so appalled by this. It's just not realistic. And I don't feel like these nuns should have also done that. But like I said, that's just my personal opinion. So anyone else is totally free to disagree with me. I mean, we can always disagree or agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, I don't agree with what these nuns did. With that being said, I think we're going to take another quick, short, little, tiny, tiny break. And when we come back, I will go over one more thing, and then we'll be done for the rest of the day. So, like I said, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned real quick.
One, two, now. Round here, they sing broken hymns. The prayers flow better when they're soaked in gin. The amp's dusty and sits in a corner by a bartender that'll pickpocket your heart and a jukebox that'll steal your quarter. Bartender, please give me a confession. Exchange fear for courage in the form of a well drink. There's a heavy current, got a long way to swim. Closed the Bible a while ago, I need some shots for the sin. Hail Mary, come with me, feel like Pac when it hits. Got some fire in my belly and a ride in the gut. Bush Mills for a band-aid, the sweet taste of blood. And I might actually feel something if I don't cover it up. Rusted faces, familiar places. Even if they haven't left the vinyl booth that they stay in. Motel next door, a sign that reads vacant. And a truth that's so strong, I'd be a fool not to chase it. But yet, I'm a fool and I stay here. Hope these problems drown themselves. I die and wait here. One more, four more, bucket a nightcap. Service starts.
All right, guys, we're back. That was a little piece of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis again with Neon Cathedral. You're listening to DJ PBR with News Power Hour at radio.dominican.edu. I wanted to wrap up my show with some good, happy news. Like I mentioned, within, I think it was the last couple shows that I've done, I've actually talked about a lot of the cop shootings that have been going on and, you know, just all the controversy that's been happening with that. A lot of cops firing their weapons before they should have and, you know, killing people. And it's just, it's been very, very bad. But last week, I remember that I mentioned, you know, I was really sick of talking about it. And I was just like, God, I really hope, I really, really genuinely hope that they just get their stuff together and they figure out how to avoid this and that there's a good story to come about. And thankfully, that happened. Really unexpected. It's almost like God heard my prayers, because just this past week, I think it was like the end of last week, maybe the very, very beginning of this week, a story broke about an Ohio police officer who did not kill anybody. In fact, this guy, I guess he was told, it was officer, he was a new officer to the Richmond department, and his name was Jesse Kidder. And like I said, this took place in Ohio, not Richmond, California, right next door, but in Ohio. And Officer Kidder was told that there was a chance that this guy, who was suspected of a double murder, could in fact try to commit suicide by cop. So that's basically when, you know, these people who are suspected of doing something, or these fugitives, go and try to get the cops to kill them because they don't want to live anymore. And there was video, because this officer had a body cam on him, and the body cam showed the whole interaction. This man was telling him, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And the whole time the officer is saying, I don't want to shoot you, I don't want to shoot you, I don't want to shoot you, stay back, stay back, stay back. And at the end of it, he didn't. He was able to get him, he was able to subdue him. And in the video, he said, no, man, I'm not going to do it. Like, talking to the guy, because he did not want to shoot him. He said, stop, stop, stop right there. I don't want to shoot you, man. I don't want to shoot you. And you could hear the distress in his voice and his willingness and really want to help this guy. So I figured it would be a really good way to end my show with that piece of information, instead of a sad story again about another officer committing another murder, unintentional or intentional. I mean, depending on what side you're on and what the way that you see it. But in my opinion, again, a lot of them are unintentional, or a lot of them are intentional, because they're not following protocol properly, or, you know, they're shooting too quick. But it was really nice and refreshing to see that this young new officer, and being new, you would think that you'd be more scared and you'd be more likely to shoot first and think later. But no, this new officer thought first, tried his best to talk it out, told him, no, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to shoot you. And in the end, the suspect eventually charges at the officer. But again, he refuses to pull the trigger, and the officer stumbles and he falls backward, and he gets up, and the suspect finally complies. That's literally exactly what happened. He fought with him. They scrambled on the ground a little bit, and the officer got up and was able to go ahead and get the suspect to comply with him, and the fugitive was then captured. So a really, 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 really good story. You know, not good for the guy who's arrested, of course, but he is alive, and that is way better for him and his family and this police department in general, because now this news has been taking storm, and the news of an officer not shooting and showing how badly he didn't want to kill the person is what is being talked about. And I think that's the first step to solving the problem. With that being said, I hope everybody has a really good weekend. Stay safe, make good choices, and I will still be here, like I said, every Thursday from 11 to noon. So catch me next Thursday at News Power Hour with DJ PBR at radio.dominican.edu.
Sun.